see everybody out this evening. It's good to be able to come together. We are going to continue our study and lessons throughout the book of James. And so if you will open up your Bibles to James chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 12 this evening. James chapter 3, and we'll begin with verse 1 and work down through verse 12. I enjoy, again, continuously going through the book of James. It's just always a good study and a lot of easy applications in which we can see how they apply to us today. And so starting here in James chapter 3, starting with verse 1, it says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as what look at the ships as they also, though they were so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and setting on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing, my brother. These things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or grapevine produce figs? Neither can salt pond yield fresh water." So if you didn't pick up, we're talking about the tongue this evening. The untamable mouth that we have. Something that we use daily. Something that we're always talking, always saying stuff. And again, it's not just what comes out of our mouth, but the things we may write, the things that we may post. Especially as we talk about today's day and time, as we have so many different social media things that you can use to say something, to post something, to share something. That is us stating where we believe, what we believe, what we think is okay to say. And so we're going to be talking about the tongue. Well, for the most part, we're going to be sticking right here. There's plenty of verses here. Again, there's a few lessons that we've already done throughout the book of James that it's decently easy to just stick here and bring the lesson forth. And so, first thing I want to bring out is what we can't tame. It brings out that we can't tame the tongue, right? James 3 in verse 3, it just goes forth. It says, if we put, I think this is supposed to be what we can tame. I was confused when that came up. What we can't tame comes up later. So I might have titled it wrong. So what we can tame. That's the first one I did want to bring up when I came up. I was confused. What we can tame. James 3 and verse 3 tells us here, if we put a bit in the mouth of a horse, we're able to guide its entire body. Again, we talked about this morning how God has blessed us and created us and given us dominion over everything upon this earth. And when you sit back and consider, here gives the example of a horse, how much larger a horse is than we are. And yet we can put this small bit that fits inside their mouth and you can control where you want it to go. You can guide it in the right direction. You can tame this large animal that God has created. And he's just, again, going back to those wow factors we talked about this morning. It's a wonderful thought and miraculous thought. James 3 verse 4 says, "Look at the ships also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs." Again, to sit back and think about how they create these large ships, and then you go forth and think, how are we going to guide this? How are you going to make it go the direction you want it to go? Again, you got the staring up with the pilot, but now it's pretty amazing to think about. You sit back and truly think that what it is guided by compared to how large some of these ships are, how large boats can be, and yet what guides them is something so small. It's making the point that we don't have to have something large to make a big mess, as we talk about the tongue. Continuous point that we can tame all these things, that small things can do great harm. James 3 verse 5 talks about the fire, and you know we can control fire to an extent if we can control what's around it. But here it gives us the example of just the smallest thing, the smallest fire here. It says at the end of verse 5, how great a forest fire is set ablaze by such a small fire. Just a small fire. And you think about how it can get out of control. Think about how fast things can go bad if you don't tame such things. And then verse 7, it says, for every kind of beast and bird or reptile of the sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Every type of creature there is can be and has been tamed by men. And you sit back and you think about that, and again, there's just so many huge animals out there, creatures that God has made, and yet mankind has found ways to tame them. Again, you can go to see circuses and acts in different places and see how they, you know, whether it's a lion or the bear or different things in which they are able to just walk up and do what they want and have them do certain tricks and, you know, how? Mankind has found a way to do it, you know, to control them, to take fish and have them jump through hoops and go forth and get the ball that they throw in the water. It's amazing. It's amazing to think about how far we can go, but yet we all seem to struggle. We all have weaknesses in our life, and as you study here in James 3, he says if we're able to tame the tongue, if we don't stumble in taming the tongue, man, you can become perfect. James 3 and verse 2 says, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. And so here it says, you know, to the point that we have the ability to tame all these other animals, and we're able to go forth and do all these great things. But to control yourself, control what comes out of your mouth, is extremely hard. That's what it's getting to. It says that it's impossible. In 3 and verse 8, it says, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. We get down and we think about the different ways in which we can slip with the tongue. We get caught up in slipping and cursing and swearing. We get caught up in slipping by lying and telling false truths and bearing false witness and going forth and leading people in the wrong direction by withholding some truth. Sometimes we can teach somebody error when we think that we are in the right. You think you are correct, and later on as you come down the road, you might find out that you was incorrect. You've been teaching people wrongly all this time, but you thought you was right. And so there's just so many ways in which we can stumble in what comes out of our mouth. Why it's so important that we make sure we take a step back and consider what comes out of our mouth. Why there's so many scriptures. Why we know that there's proverbs that tell us that we need to be quick to hear and slow to speak to make sure what we say is true. Because it's something we all stumble. Something that is difficult for everyone to tame. Then it comes down to back to this here at the end of these verses. It says in verse 11, does the spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? And then verse 12, can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, and grapevine produce figs? Neither can salt pond yield fresh water. It's just these things that are just impossible, should not happen, does not happen. They don't go together. When you find a body of water, it's one or the other. It's either salt or it's fresh. It's not going to be both. It can't be both. It won't work. And when you go to certain types of trees and you plant certain seeds and you have a garden, you don't go planting, when garden time comes, you don't plant corn seeds and plan on hoping to have something else come up. It's not the way it's going to work. It's not the way it's going to work. And that's not the way our lives should work either. And we go forth and we claim to be Christians and we go forth and say we love God, and yet then we do the opposite and we curse others. And we go forth and swear, and the things that come out of our mouth. In James 3 and verse 9 it says, "With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God." Yeah, I don't remember when the song was out and who wrote it. I'm sure someone might be able to tell me, but it always got to me. And part of the song it says, we pray on them Sundays and we curse on them Mondays, or vice versa. And just that point that, well, we do this on Sunday, and as soon as Sunday's over, we go back to over here and we start swearing and cursing and living that other life. And as you look at verse 10, it says, these things ought not to be. It should not be. We can't go forth and claim that you love God and then go forth and say you hate your brother. It doesn't work. It doesn't go together. We can't claim to be children of God and have hate for others. We can't go forth cursing other people, swearing at other people, bullying other people, and then try to praise God. Try to claim that we are children of God and that we produce fruits of righteousness. It says these things ought not to be. So it comes down to the question, who should teach? Should you teach? And as we look at all the things that we talked about, and you come back to verse 1, as it starts off, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And reading just this one verse and then going forth and reading all the other verses along with it, I understand why sometimes there's a hesitance to step up and teach. And we're warned. We're fairly warned about what it is going to come out of our mouth. Thing is though, is we've been commanded to go and teach. We've been commanded to go forth and teach in many and multiple ways in which we should teach. And so it's about that we should try to tame our tongue. We have to watch what we say, knowing that we will stumble from time to time, but we have to go teach. Matthew 28 and verse 19. Matthew 28 and verse 19, it tells us to go. He's sending his disciples here. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And so here he commands them to go forth and make disciples. And as he says, go make disciples, he says, go and make them, and then teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So one of the things we have to go forth and do is go and teach others. To go and try to do our best to help make disciples also. Now again, we all have our different roles and different parts in helping that take place. As Paul makes mention that, you know, he planted, Apollos watered, you know, they work together. You may be a planter. You may be someone who comes along with someone who's already received the introduction of the Word of God, and now you're watering on top of it, and someone else comes and helps water it some more. Then that person finally obeys the gospel. The first person who planted the seed may never know that person ever obeyed the gospel. The thing is we're commanded to go forth and make disciples.
We're commanded to go and spread the good news, to share it with others. One thing, if you've got children, you have to be willing to teach them. God commands us to go forth and teach them. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, teach your children. If you have children, you don't get opt out of the option. You have to be willing to raise them in the will of the Father, to guide them in the right direction, to show them how they're supposed to be living their lives. Commanded to teach. So again, you go back to James 3, verse 1, it says, you know, not many of you should be teachers, but guess what? We all must be teachers. We all have to be willing to do our part. It may not always be standing up and teaching the Bible class or getting up and giving an invitation. We each have been commanded in one way or another that we have to be willing to guide others in the right direction, shining our lights unto all and help teaching others and showing them where the Word of God guides us to. Again, even as we've seen with one another, Colossians 3 and verse 16, they're teaching and admonishing one another. And psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Again, go back to Ephesians 5 there also. We're teaching each other as we sing these songs. That's why sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in singing the songs on the radio. But whether we like it or not, that's a way of teaching also. Just as we teach with these hymns here, you know, we don't think twice about the songs that we're singing along with. Well, then the kids say, well, they're singing it, I can sing it, and then they sing it, and they say these words that come out of these songs, and well, then they get the mind that we can pray on Sunday and curse on Monday. You get the mindset that it's okay to go down this road. We have to watch what comes out of our mouth, and that's why it's warning us so much about what we say. Because there's so many ways in which we can get caught up, whether it's, you know, quoting someone or quoting what we heard in a movie or on a TV show or what was on a song or just there's so many different things. Then we get caught up in the way if something may be presented, you know, euphemism. And, I try to watch how that goes because I said, well, you can't go as far as to say we can't say anything. But you also know when people are particular just trying to walk that line, trying to be lukewarm. We've got to watch what we say. In James 3, I mean, it gives us 12 straight verses there that straightforward talks about. Telling us to watch what we say, to try to do our best to tame our tongue. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. It says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies in order that everything that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we've gone in through our Bible class this morning and the adult class. This is one of the things we pointed out as we strive for the unity and how we can make sure that we are united is the basis and the foundation of coming back to the truth. Coming back to Christ. And making sure that we speak where God speaks. And we do not add to nor take away from what He has given to us. As we go forth, that we are to go forth and speak the truth through the Word of God. As we know truth and lies in situations that we cannot bear false witness against others. And going back to what we had studied already in James, but James chapter 1, and looking at verse 27, it says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God, fathers to visit orphans and widows. That's nothing but law. Verse 26 says, if anyone thinks that he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Comes down to that if we can't tame the tongue, that it can completely throw our religion out. It says one who claims to be religious, one who thinks that he is righteous, one who thinks that he is a child of God, but does not bridle his tongue, this one's religion becomes useless. So let us watch what we say. Again, it's not telling us not to speak at all. It's not telling you not to teach. But make sure we think twice before we speak, so that we can make sure that we are doing things in which are edifying to the brethren, and lead others in the right direction for the equipping of the saints, and stir up love and good works. Don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. If there's any here that need to obey the gospel, they've heard the truth being spoken by their parents, by grandparents, by friends, by family, and Bible class and worship. And you know what you need to do, and we encourage that you obey, that you be baptized and wash your sins away. If you're here and you need prayer as a congregation, let us know as we stand this evening.